Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just walking by your room, and you know, I was thinking, boy, it's been a long time since we've had the little father-son chat.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
This is Hustler. And this is a much more exotic magazine. Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes saying, hey, big boy. Hey, how you doing? You see?
Right. And Brendan Sprague.
Shave is a magazine I'm not too familiar with. But again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that that they go into in this picture here.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a tropical plant or something. Underwater.
Yeah.
Thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah.
See you at dinner.
I'll see you at dinner.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back out at Langdon Farms live recorded live show. Top 10 greatest players in NBA history. We're hanging out and going through this. So Sprague just gave his Bill Chamberlain top 10 of all time. We have to see if Swag has a name for his top 10. Did you name your top 10?
No, I did not.
Okay,
this
no name
just,
for your yeah, just Swaggy's top 10.
At Fan Swag.
The Swagalicious.
Send it in the Swagalicious.
Here
Swagalicious
comes George
10.
Mikan. Here comes George Mikan and Billy Ray Bates. Without further ado, Jason Swigart, who are your top 10?
Alrighty. We will start 10. I know you didn't, you know, the Chamberlain list. Wilt Chamberlain is 10. I don't think you can tell the story of the NBA without what he did. 13-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA, only two NBA titles, and that's because he had to go. He didn't have as much help
as the Celtics were
did.
Loaded.
And the Celtics
yeah.
were a wagon. 7-time scoring champ,
yep.
11-time rebounding champ. He's still, in terms of rebounds per year,
nobody will touch that.
Nobody's going to touch that. They did not count block shots as an official stat in the NBA till 1974.
He'd probably be the
box otherwise
leader.
He'd be number one.
Yeah.
He led the league in assists one year because he got crap from, well, you're taking all the shots, of course. And so he went out and led the league in assists one year. He averaged 50 points, 25, and I don't know, 7 or 8 assists one year. Finals MVP, 4-time MVP, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But I think and because of him, they widened the keys. If you go back and look, they had the little skinny, narrow Hoosiers keys.
Right.
It was because of him that they initially widened it to where he couldn't just post up on the block and reach up to the rim and just lay
turn
it
around
in.
And flip it in, yeah.
There was discussion in his era if they should not allow dunks in the NBA, like ban the dunk because it was such an advantage. And he was, even at 7'4", he was still a great athlete. He was known volleyball player. He's probably better volleyball player than he was, and who would love to have him as a middle blocker and whatever. Won an Olympic gold there at the, you know, when it was still amateurs before, you know, when he was at Kansas. But every time we see some scoring record from Jokic or Durant or Steph, the list, the absurdity with which Wilt set records and the records that he holds and the gap between, you know, how many times did you have a 40-point game or 50-point game?
Right, right.
And then Wilt did it 5 times, whatever, but I can't ignore that.
All-time stick man.
Oh, yeah.
All-time stick man.
All-time stick man.
All-time. Look, I think you're right, ultimately. You can't tell the story without Wilt. And that the tough thing for me wasn't, I'm not going to.
The eras, yes.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't go.
He's on the Bill Chamberlain list for
exactly.
a reason. Okay.
I understand that, yeah. But some of the absurdity of what he did.
No, I see the stat lines and I go, that's fake.
I couldn't.
Yeah,
you just 50, can't ignore
30 and 10.
All right, number 9, Steph Curry.
Look at that. We have the same number 9.
So Steph Curry.
Dirt hates this. play some defense.
In an era of these absolute physical specimens like LeBron, he, at his slight frame, still obviously very athletic, all those sorts of things. But the fact that he went from where the three-point shot was kind of a specialty weapon for NBA teams more than when it first came in the Larry Bird Magic era, where, okay, it was more of a way to, if we need to catch up at the end of the game or something like that, but it wasn't a part of offenses. It had become a part of offenses. We have certain guys that are specialty guys that if we can get them free, but it was still about driving, getting to the hoop, getting to the mid-range, those sorts of things. He changed the way he brought in analytics, but the degree to which he practiced that, his regimen, the ball handling skills, and his ability to be just as effective with the ball or playing without the ball, I think is what separated him. He's able to do all that within the team concept that Warriors embraced.
Yep.
And he wasn't a guy that just dominated the ball like a James Harden. Like James Harden can get 60, but
had to have the ball.
And so he led the league in steals 1 year, scoring champ twice. And he was a great team defender. He wasn't a great on the ball defender, but he was a great team defender and understood he had to take care of that end of the floor too. Number 8, Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay, a little lower than I had him.
Yeah, and what I started to find was longevity and your ability to maintain your level for the longevity of your career started to weigh more into my factors. But you can't deny he was the single most dominant force in the league for about a stretch of 6 or 7 years. Like, you did not know what you couldn't defend. If he got the ball on the block, and it didn't matter sometimes if you did foul him or not, you had to send 2 or 3 people at him.
I would say his first year in L.A., 96-97, so he'd gotten the Orlando loss out of his system.
Yeah.
That year, 96-97, and I would say until about maybe even the Miami title.
Because he was still really good.
Because they were still super worried about him, and then D-Wade got a lot of free throws. I would say that was the run he was the most dominant player we had seen since Wilt.
Yeah.
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 And you didn't know what to do. And
there was no answer.
Hack-a-Shaq came in.
We are out of answers, so the only thing we're going to do is the one thing you don't do great is shoot free throws.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll miss enough that allows us to stay in the game and find a way to win at the end.
No answers for him.
He was amazing. Number 7, Tim Duncan.
Wow.
Ooh, Duncan number 7.
15-time All-Defensive.
Oh, yeah, I know.
15-time All-Star, 15-time All-NBA. Probably should have had another MVP, another Finals MVP, as you mentioned. He was the ultimate team guy.
Ultimate team guy.
Because he'd do whatever the game plan called for based on the opponent. You know, it was similar to he allowed Popovich to treat games, especially playoff series, like Belichick did. Belichick didn't have, like, a system. He's like, all right, what does this team do well? What does this team not do well? Where are their weaknesses? Where can I take advantage? And he'd make it up. And the reason you could do that for the Spurs was, okay, I'll change the rotation. We're going to go bigger. We're going to go smaller. Whatever. It didn't matter. I'll have Tim on the block. No, I want Tim at the high post. Whatever you wanted to do, he had all the skill set that was, if you wanted to run the offense through him as the passer, if you wanted him to be more aggressive, he could do it. It was amazing.
He was a bunny in the first Finals against Miami, like a 3-foot little blooper, and a bad substitution in that same series, which led to the Ray Allen 3. Coincidentally, today we're recording is the anniversary of that shot.
Yeah.
Pop took him out on that play. Chris Bosh ain't rebounding that basketball if Pop leaves Duncan in, and if he doesn't miss that little bunny.
Yep.
We're talking about a guy with 7.
Yep.
Like 6 or 7 rings here. I just, that's why he's my top 5. But
Number six, Kobe Bryant. This one shocks you guys, I know.
You have way higher than me.
That's surprising, yeah.
I went back and started looking at just his ability. It's him and MJ as the two most competitive, rip your guts out, even more than LeBron, I think. His dedication, effort, urgency in every game at both ends of the floor was amazing. When he and Shaq were together, Shaq was a problem just simply because of his size. Kobe was a problem because of everything that he could do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you decided to take this away from him, then he had this to go to. Two-time scoring champ, four-time All-Star Game MVP. And trust me, in an era where now we're debating, is the All-Star Game even worthy of it? This guy was so competitive. He wanted to win.
He loved the All-Star Game.
All-Star Game MVPs, because I'm competing against – he was like Pete Rose in the All-Star – like he would – he'd take a charge in an All-Star Game.
Yeah. I would argue that Kobe was the last of the gritty NBA era.
Yeah.
And LeBron is the symbolic nature of the AAU culture of you're the chosen one. We're going to give you everything you want at a young
age. Play with your friends.
You don't need to do that. You're too good for that. Okay, I won't do the dunk contest. Right. I won't do this. The one thing I only push back on that drives me nuts, I don't think you can quantify that competitive rip your throat stuff out, because he didn't grip his teeth. He didn't copy Michael Jordan.
No, he didn't.
You can't get to 8 straight NBA finals unless you're that dude.
Oh, I know.
They just have different physical looks to them when they do it.
Yeah.
It's like if he didn't do the Boston Game 6, LeBron, when he killed him, if you don't do that every game, you're not a competitor.
Well, but Kobe would I say this more like at the end of the games when they had to get he commanded the ball, but I think at the defense, he wasn't afraid to guard anybody. He's like, we need to stop. I'm guarding this guy who's killing us. I don't care if he's 7'1 or he's 6'1. It was that sort of thing was, okay, this is what we need to do. I need to do it because I'm leading this team, and he led by example. And then the other piece of it for me is this current generation, most of this current generation of NBA people coming up, his work ethic, his dedication to body, to spirit, to all of those things, the Mamba mentality.
Yeah, that's real,
I think,
for sure.
Is the most now revered of this current generation. He spawned of the great ones. They tried to copy his approach to being a professional.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. 10 through 6 for Jason Swigard. We're going to wait for the other side of the commercial.
There we go.
We'll find out. The top 5. Our top 10 NBA show continues out at Langdon Farms Live, recorded live, next on The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Live, not live, kind of live out at Langdon Farms. Our top 10 NBA players of all time show. We went through Sprague's list earlier. We'll recap that here at the end of the show. We got Swag 6 through 10. So before we get your top 5, quick synopsis.
Yes.
6 through 10, you have.
So Wilt, 10. Steph Curry, 9. Shaq, 8. Tim Duncan, 7. Kobe Bryant, 6.
Okay, now we await the top 5 players, according to Jason Swigard.
We have a tie at 4.
Well, what about 5?
Well, 4 and 5, but they would be tied for 4.
You got 4A, 4B.
I have Duncan at 5. You have Duncan at 7.
And Kobe was 6.
Yeah, I have Kobe
at
10.
So if you have a tie at 4, that's 2, so you would skip 5.
Okay.
That is how
Who are your 2-4s?
It's Magic and Larry. They go together.
What is this nonsense?
You can't have 2-4s.
No. What name do I put down on the list first? I got to put a name down first.
Who's 5? I'm making you.
Go in alphabetical order if you want. I don't care.
They go together.
They're not conjoined twins.
They go together. I watch the 79
5-4
NCAA.
I can't write out a top 10 list with 2-4s. It's got to be two names.
Who's 5-4?
I'm going to call the boss over here and have him rule on this.
I know how you want to do it.
We need an arbitration judge.
You're just afraid to do it. It's Larry the
Magic.
Larry's
fifth.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
By, like, decimal point 0000.
So Larry five, Magic four.
They go together.
Yeah, they do.
From the 79 NCAA championship game.
The league couldn't have drawn it up better what they got out of that.
And from where the league was, where I was staying up late on a Friday night to watch the NBA finals after my late local news on tape delay. They made the NBA entertainment. They made the NBA a desirable television product.
The names on the back of the jerseys.
They ushered in
endorsements. Brands.
Endorsements.
Yeah.
And they both did it in their very own particular styles, and they were just as great. The fact that they met almost seemingly every year for the NBA title in all of the 80s.
Crazy.
Save for the Sixers a couple of times early in the decade and the Pistons late in the decade.
Random Rockets year in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
With the Twin Towers.
Yep. Yeah, that one stunned the Lakers like nobody's business.
Yeah.
But little Ralph Sampson thrown in there.
They thought
for
they
fun.
Had it. They were like, we're going to take it over, and they never got back as a duo.
That rivalry and their ability to elevate the NBA past Major League Baseball as must-see TV that NBC, CBS, NBC took it over from CBS. That's what made it desirable, that now they anchored, you know, your weekend sports programming around what they could get. And the fact that I think Larry Bird's a little underappreciated because he had the injuries, but his passing ability was right up there with Magic's, but he had similarly the Lakers. Magic was the playmaker for them, and the Celtics had several guys that they could run it through at any. I mean, all of them. McHale down on the post was a willing passer. Robert Parrish was a willing passer from the top of the key. So, and I was surprised when I went back and looked that Larry made three all defensive teams.
Yeah.
And
he was a better defender than people.
He was a great rebounder.
Great rebounder.
For his size. So those guys go together. Number three, Michael Jordan.
Oh my God. I thought I was going to get some crap. Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
You look at you now, you know who one and two are going to be.
Yeah, I do.
This is where the longevity piece of it came in. There was no better closer than Michael Jordan, and he might have that reign once he finally got and Pippen and Phil Jackson, and they got to the finals that 8-year period where he won the 6 titles and then and did not lose one, the most dominant stretch. But when it came to what 2-1 were able to do and sustain over a much longer period of time, I could not discount that.
Wow. Longevity.
So longevity carried a lot of weight in your top 10.
It started to because, they all have about the same number of MVPs. He had 6 finals MVPs more than other guys, but that was how those particular teams were set up. It was all designed around
to be Mike
him.
Yeah, right.
He was but in terms of,
go rewatch, by the way, 98 finals game, super random. It's the end of the run.
Yeah.
Game 4, game 2, I forget who had home court there, but it was in Utah. I'm watching this game and I'm just like, Scottie's got no back. Scottie's back is
the back injury,
my spinal. They are double-teaming Scottie Pippen and leaving Byron Russell one-on-one with Michael Jordan. And I'm like, what kind of a defensive approach was this? Why are we double teaming the guy with a broken back?
Maybe not a great idea.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
If all the guys are double, probably not.
Yeah.
Number two, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, look at us with the same number one.
Wow, you guys are going to piss a lot of people off. I love it.
Six MVPs, six titles.
Yeah. Captain.
19-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
And still amidst when he got Magic and they got Worthy and all of those things, he was still the anchor, and he had the single most indefensible shot.
Yes, he did.
In NBA history. And this is the era when the big man was still there. So the best run of centers from the late 70s with Walton and Wes Unseld and Artis Gilmore into the 80s with Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing and even guys – and every team had at least one seven-footer. Ralph Sampson was in there. Even guys like Rick Smits. And everybody had a seven-footer. And still, when he got the ball within 15 feet, it wasn't necessarily on the block. You go down on the base. If he was 15 feet on the baseline, he'll still throw up a sky hook, and there was nothing you could do about it.
Yeah.
And he was a better passer than people gave him credit for. He came in. I can't remember. I think he started – or it was still when block shots weren't, I think he started before then, winning the title in Milwaukee and then what he was able to do with the Lakers. But his ability for a big man to keep himself in that sort of shape, he didn't have too many lengthy, other than at the very end when he got to his 40s, where he was missing games regularly.
He was in the league when they kept. It was 73-74 when they kept that stat,
yeah.
Block shots.
But still among those leaders today, he's still – the fact that he was the all-time leading scorer for as long as he was in the NBA,
yeah.
It took 21 years from LeBron to get him.
Yep.
It is pretty amazing. And there you go, LeBron James. It's ridiculous. He's still the best player on his team at age whatever.
Well, maybe not anymore.
Not anymore. Not well, anymore.
He's still in the conversation.
Well, but
and that
he's
guy's like 25 years old. 26.
He still plays the most minutes, yeah. The most meaningful minutes of anybody on a team at age 40 whatever. I was there in the building covering his very first game. I remember being pinned. They brought him out of the Blazers visiting locker room, and we were there in the hallway, and I was pinned up against the wall, you know, trying to reach a mic out when we were still doing our local Blazer postgame shows here on The Fan. And just looking at him at 18, and like, okay, you're not 18. You're an alien. Knowing that for 2 years prior, I think he was 16 when he first made the Sports Illustrated
cover.
Yeah,
that was when he was on the cover, 16.
He was the chosen one.
Yeah.
Didn't have any seasoning in college.
Nope.
Stepped into the role as the next great whatever
at
for the
18.
NBA.
18 years old.
And has delivered for 21 seasons.
Yeah. Every year he's been in the league. No downswings, no bad years. No.
Yeah. So other than bad PR
his
stuff.
His disappointments are losing in the championship.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not winning an NBA championship is a failure.
And, you know, you can critique his meddling as far as wanting his hand in the GM stuff. And
what's funny about that is we do criticize him with the GM stuff. What we don't do is we don't also say, okay, he's the general manager. He's won four titles as a general manager. How many has your favorite team won? I find it funny when he loses, oh, he's a bad GM.
So
yeah.
If we're, yeah, I mean,
stop letting this guy run the team.
Dude, he had J.R. Smith on his team and he won a ring.
He did?
I know.
J.R. Smith.
He did.
All-time goofy, don't-take-him-seriously player.
Who famously in a
doesn't know
finals
how much
game,
time's left on a clock.
Yeah. Grabbed an offensive rebound and didn't get a shot up.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing the
in
game.
In one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life.
He had like 50-20-10, and they
crazy.
Still lost the game
so,
in
yeah.
that finals.
So I tried to put, you know, individual favoritism biases aside here and
yeah.
look at, okay, who really
was
dominant.
Yeah.
He was dominant from the day he stepped
yep.
into the league, and he's still
an elite player.
The biggest problem when you go play a LeBron James team is what are we going to do with him? He can still get up. His ability to get to the rim at this age is
can
ridiculous.
Can I ask you very quickly both, if Kyrie doesn't get hurt in 15, I think they beat that Warrior team because they pushed him to 6 with Dellavedova.
They yeah. did.
And then if KD doesn't become a little B and join.
Yeah.
I'm just like, really what is – we could be the dumb guys to everybody listening to this, having him over Mike or whoever. What is the narrative if he has six?
Yeah, if he won three in a row, say with Cleveland.
I just like what it, what are
if
what
Durant
are we
doesn't
saying?
Join that team and they have a three-peat.
What are we saying?
Yeah. You would say that he's not. You would say that he's not 6-0. That would be the argument.
Okay, all right.
I mean, they would move the goalposts
yeah,
and say
okay, that's what I thought.
MJ was 6-0, and LeBron lost. And if you lost in the finals, you'd never be as good as MJ.
I just think it's Magic will get kind of punished for that. It's like, dude, you went to the finals 9 times.
It's one of the dumbest things we do is not giving people credit for getting there.
As if that's nothing, not an achievement.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel like this other sports are dealing with it now. The NFL with Brady and the Super Bowls he won. Like we did this with Mahomes when he lost. Well, you can never be as good as Brady. What if he wins 11? What if he's 11-4? That's not better than Tom Brady. That doesn't count. Like, it's just stupid how we do it.
Yeah, so there you go.
LeBron, number one in two different lists so far. Yeah.
We didn't consult each other.
No, we did not consult.
So who do you have that
consulting.
I have a Keem on.
Wilt.
Oh, Wilt.
That's I had Wilt difference. At 10. Yeah, okay. I couldn't.
So you guys had 9 of the same 10, right? Other than Wilt?
Yeah.
Different order, but yeah.
Different order. Yeah, not same different players. Order, but you had 9 of the same 10.
Yeah.
You guys ready to get wacky?
Yeah. I am ready to get wacky.
Wacky morning
How
radio
high is
guy?
Jokic on this?
Wacky morning radio guy. We're live out at Langdon Farms, pre-live, not recorded, but kind of recorded, but live, but not live, out at Langdon Farms. My top 10 coming up next on The Fam.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in live out at Langdon Farms. Not really, but kind of. Fangolf Classic Day. We are recording this for our top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. In the final segment, which will be coming up next, we'll recap all of the top 10s. Once this show is done, I will put out a poll question. Who has the best top 10?
We
are going to
get
top 10.
Don't do that. We're going to get
the morning show.
So much crap.
These two idiots have LeBron number one. Got choke artist in the playoffs. Let's choke. I don't know how you do that. Yeah. But we'll get to our top 10. Everybody's been waiting for it. Now, I'm not going to go through all the numbers of these guys because you guys highlighted it. If I have somebody a little bit higher, a little bit lower, I'll explain why I have them higher or lower. But all the numbers for every single one of these players is insane, remarkable, and they're all deserving, even the guys that we started with who are outside the top 10. I have, according to my top 10, so I'm looking through your guys' list and mine. I think I only have three different names in you guys.
That's a lot more because we had 9 of our 10.
Yeah, 9 of the top 10. The only difference between you two was you had Akeem. And
I
Swag
had Wilt.
Had Wilt. That's the only difference between the two of you.
But okay? I had the Bill Chamberlain top 10.
But it is the Bill Chamberlain
so
top 10.
So he's kind of in
there. This is the Kobe Bryant mama mentality Bill Chamberlain top 10, according to Andy Dirt Johnson, because Kobe Bryant is not inside my top 10.
That's shocking.
Yeah, you know, look, here's what I'll start with before I get to my top 10. Yeah. I have a really hard time with parceling out team accomplishments for players when they – I think a lot of players could have been interchangeable in those spots and won titles. So, the Kobe example. Kobe Bryant is an incredible player. He's one of the greatest of all time in the history of the league.
Right.
I think you could have interchanged 10 different guards in the NBA at that time, and those Laker teams still would have won NBA championships. Shaq won 3 straight NBA finals. And I'm going to get to my number 10 player here in a moment. You're going to tell me if this guy was on that team, they wouldn't have won a three-peat in the NBA championship. You can't look at me and tell me it wouldn't have happened. Swap the players and tell me the finals would have been different. My 10th greatest player in the history of the NBA is Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson at 6 foot, barely, standing on his tippy toes.
Wide Iverson over here.
At 6 foot, we're talking about cultural impact. Yes. Not many have had a bigger cultural impact than him. He was one of the most dominant offensive players for essentially a 10-year run. He came into the league in 1990.
1996.
Yeah.
Was immediately Rookie of the Year. After a sluggish second year, he was top five in MVP voting essentially for a decade straight.
I love it.
He won an MVP in 2000 and 2001.
Yes, he did.
He also received votes many years as Defensive Player of the Year. He led the NBA in steals three consecutive years in 01, 02, and 03.
Yeah.
And this is the hard part that I have with it, right? Like, Kobe won a total of five championships in his career.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. If you swap Allen Iverson and Kobe on those three-peat Laker teams, do the Lakers win a title?
Yeah, I think they win. I mean,
they win three.
Yeah.
Right? And Shaq would have still been the finals MVP. So I don't want to take away what he accomplished later. The point that I tried to bring up at the start with guys like Iverson, and you pointed out that Mutombo was an all-star.
Yeah.
Mutombo was a good defensive big. That was his best Robin he ever had in his career. There was never a Scottie Pippen. There was never a Shaq. There was never a Kobe.
Yeah.
There was never a Kareem. There was never insert any player.
I think they got him a
want.
Chris Webber one year.
Dude,
and it was
go
like,
back
man.
And look at that finals team, man. Eric Snow is your number two guy. Like Aaron McKee, what are we talking about here? And they made an NBA finals.
Larry Hughes.
He stepped over Tyronn Lue. Yeah. Iconic moment.
Iconic moment,
Allen
man.
Iverson, cultural impact, the success that he had, the height that he had. He was a well-rounded player. Certainly causes issues, but we're talking about practice, man. He showed up and played in games when they mattered. And he was incredibly reliable and durable.
He also gave the NBA a dress code.
He did.
He did.
That's another
which was hilarious.
He absolutely did.
Hey, look, I'll say this. I'm not mad at it. I love it. He definitely meant a lot. I need to add more pictures, but on my Arnie's gym wall is Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Jordan.
Who didn't love the honeycombs?
Allen Iverson.
The honeycomb shoes, too. I mean, just
the answers.
The answers. Number nine on my list. My first three are all the different, and then I'll get to the rest of my top seven. I'll go quickly through those. This is the one I'm surprised he didn't show up on either of your near-miss lists, and this is more of a Swigard wheelhouse.
Well, he might have been. I just didn't read
it. He could have been. Very well. Could have been a part of it. So this one for me was I've tried to have somebody of historical context, right? Will Chamberlain's not in my top 10. Bill Russell's not in my top 10. No offense to either of those players. Incredible. I went with somebody who I thought was a fit in every era, could have been a fit in every era that he played in, and is also a bit of a criminal now, or a bit of a criminal,
excuse me,
a bit of a victim of the same thing that I exposed with Allen Iverson, right?
Okay.
Of just not having a number two guys. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'm not firm on my 1960 to 1967 Cincinnati, you know, basketball facts.
Oh, the big O.
I got the big O in there.
Yeah.
He is a guy who set triple-double marks that stood forever until they've finally started to be toppled here last couple of years.
That was a big deal, and then we got a player that did it, and we went, he's a stat patter.
He's a stat patter. Like, and we just downplayed it like it was a big deal, right? Here's a guy who came into the league, won Rookie of the Year his first year in the league. He was top five in MVP voting. He averaged 30 points per game as a rookie.
He then
finished in top five in MVP voting for seven consecutive seasons. He won finished top five again 3 years after that, so he had a long career, 14 years.
Yeah.
Ended in Milwaukee. Wasn't quite the same player at the end. His point per game averaged 30, 30, 28, 31, 30, 31, 30, 29.
Jeez.
He had years where he led the NBA in assists. Of his 14-year career, he led the NBA in assists seven of those 14 years. He had multiple years right out of the gate where he averaged double digits and rebounds. So he was a 6'5" wing guard combo who could have easily translated to any era in the NBA. A lot of guys I look at back then, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I do think part of the dominance was you were just so much bigger than everybody else. Like Wilt was just he was a freak.
He was a unicorn. There was
like,
outliers.
He's the outlier,
yes.
And there's nothing that you could do against. There were a lot of 6'5 guys in the league at that time.
Yep, right.
And he was, in my opinion, the best one. He set a standard for triple-doubles that held until, again, they started to fall. So Oscar Robertson is my number nine player.
Quick question. He won with Kareem.
Yes.
In Milwaukee.
He won one. I believe he only has one title.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
And it was at the end of his career. Yeah. He wasn't quite the same player as he was early.
I love that you got him on the list. He was somebody on my outside, but like, you know, Dr. J, like there are guys that I don't know, man. It was tough. My list ain't perfect.
Yeah.
Why him and not a Wilt?
Because Wilt, I put more respect on somebody who didn't do it sheerly because they were born 7 foot tall.
Mm.
And again, that sounds disrespectful, but
short man theme is what I'm getting from this top 10.
There's a short man theme here.
Stockton, number one.
Stockton was on my near miss list. Somebody's got to stick up for the short kings out
there,
okay? At number eight, this is when everybody's going to get all hot and bothered, but I don't care. Anyways, I think as time goes on, this will be proven correct, and I don't care if it's too early.
Oh,
I don't care if it's too soon. I've been known to come too soon at times in my life.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, calm down. Hey, whoa, Luke, that was rude and offensive. Number eight on my list is, in my opinion, the most skilled center in the history of the league. A guy who if we had voters with their heads on, probably could have won five consecutive MVPs. The only reason he didn't win four in a row was because we had to get into a race war for a year between him and Jim and Joel Embiid to the point where he was like, please don't give me this award. I don't want it anymore. And then somehow, some way, this year, which was the best year of his career as a center, he averaged 29 points per game, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. Oh, by the way, he was also top 10 in the NBA when you look at per-volume three-point shooting at nearly 42% from three. Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic easily could have won five consecutive MVPs. He has been the best player of this generation. He's not elite defensively.
No.
He's good. He's not elite. That's the only thing that I hold against him. I think as time goes on, this will be proven right. To me, over a basically seven-year run of being a first-team or second-team All-NBA guy and multiple MVPs, Jokic has done enough in my mind. He's the most skilled big man in the history of the league. There's not many that I would take over him historically, and he is my eighth greatest player.
I think in 2 years, Dirt could be in my top 10.
Yeah.
And look, if he gets a second chip, that's, I mean, you're getting into territory that
he's the easiest one to move up if he can sustain this.
If this keeps going,
get another title and he's right.
Most skilled big man of all time.
I'm not mad at you getting ahead of it.
Top seven is all the same names that you guys have heard. I'll give you my order and then I'll give you the names and I'll go through some of the reasons why I had guys in different places.
Okay.
Number seven for me is Tim Duncan. You guys laid it all out. Number six is Shaq, most dominant player, physically dominant player in the history of the league. Number five is Kareem. Number four is Magic. Number three is Larry Bird. Number two is LeBron James. And number one is Michael Jordan. The longevity arguments are all valid. I think if LeBron would have been teamed up with Scottie Pippen, you can make an argument he would have won six consecutive NBA titles. He had nothing early in his career in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I don't hold the finals losses against him. To me, and I don't know if it's just being a child of the 90s, there is a little bit of a mystique. He is the biggest name and face
there.
In the history of the league. He is the most intimidating player that has ever played in the history of the league. The stories that continue to come out, it's not the end-all, be-all, but never losing an NBA Finals is wildly impressive. You only went to six. Other guys have gone to more. But being 6-0 and the Finals MVP every single time that they were there is remarkable. So I did have Jordan number one, LeBron number two. The reason I had Larry number three.
I was going to say you got Larry over Magic.
I do have Larry over Magic.
Race war.
Give me the whites. The only reason that I put him number three on my list is I tried to encapsulate for a lot of the guys the well-rounded nature of your game. And I felt like Larry could do everything that Magic did. He was not as good maybe, but one of the best passers in the history of the league.
Yeah.
I thought he was a better shooter than Magic Johnson.
Definitely.
There's no doubt about
Certainly
that.
Was.
And I think he was a better defender than Magic Johnson. Now, I think both those guys are almost – it's unfortunate because what could have been for either of them had Larry not had the back injuries later in his career and been able to play maybe five or six more elite seasons – and then Magic, not obviously with the HIV diagnosis.
Or be able to play.
Like just being robbed of that opportunity at that point of his career. It's weird to think where those guys could have been. Could they have won more titles? Where would some of the all-time numbers be? So I had Larry Bird third just simply because I thought he was a better all-around player than Magic. Other than that, I mean, you're just splitting hairs with all of these guys. So again, my top 10 from back to finish, back to front, Allen Iverson, Oscar Robertson, Nikola Jokic, Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, top five, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, LeBron James, and Michael Jordan. Assess. Talks amongst yourselves.
I got to be honest. I thought you'd be with LeBron at one. I know you like LeBron James.
He's a LeBron guy.
But
nothing
I also,
against LeBron.
I in fighting the LeBron-Jordan thing, and fighting, I mean, like, just thinking for myself because I hate these people on the internet with it. I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer. And I think the idea that there is just utterly stupid. It's culty. But I can't refute the magic mystique and feel that Mike created. Like, I know I had it.
I wanted to be like Mike.
The only thing I say is, like, and I've never understood some of the arguments. LeBron wins the East. Well, the East is weak. Could anybody answer me this? When the Bulls won their first title, they beat the Lakers. Okay, 90-91. Can anybody tell me when the Bulls weren't in the championship with Jordan from 90, who won the NBA title? So who won it in the 2 years that he was out of the league or the year and a half?
It was the Rockets.
It was the Rockets. What conference are they in?
West.
Oh, but the East is so strong. When Mike retired in 98, who won it after that? The Spurs?
Spurs started their
and
run.
Then who won after the Spurs?
The Lakers.
How many times in a row?
Three.
Yeah.
So, like, my thing is, like, not that Mike didn't have weak competition, But I just don't think the East has ever been good. So the idea that you use the East as weak for LeBron.
It was more
about his battle to get through the Celtics and the Pistons, who
LeBron had that too.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah,
LeBron got through the Pistons when he was 22.
Yeah. Yep. And the Pistons were a dominant championship team.
I just think it's like I watched that guy play Kendall Gill in the Nets. I watched him play Mookie Blaylock in the Hawks. And look, that doesn't take away his sure. mystique and his greatness. It's sure. just I watched the Hornets play him.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Hornets have been in the playoffs since Michael Jordan left. So I find that whole argument stupid. I really think it's absolutely legitimately stupid.
I tend to agree with you. A lot of this is splitting hairs. Final thoughts? We want one more segment. Final thoughts segment.
Final thoughts,
we'll recap all of it. Play Kumbaya. Who has the best top 10? We'll revisit all of our top 10s next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in live at Langdon Farms. Not really, but kind of. Fan Golf Classic. I've already had 7 transfusions and 4 hole-in-ones. I'm having a great time. Hopefully you're streaming along live on YouTube.
Funny play this to him right now, wouldn't it?
What an awful top 10.
This top 10 sucks.
Well, I'm still here in the studio running this, so I can
That's true. You're
get
still
a
here.
Phone call.
Yeah,
I got to figure out what to do for another hour.
We'll see you in a matter of moments, Swaggart. We look forward to seeing you out at Langdon Farms. Swag, do you have thoughts on my top 10?
The Oscar really caught me by surprise.
I wanted to have an old flair in there. I didn't want to go all modern era. I had to have one
older
flair.
And
I don't know, to be fair, I don't know a lot about Cincinnati Royals basketball, whatever the hell they were. 60s. Like, did he play with studs? I wasn't diving into team rosters.
Well,
who
I mean,
was there,
the league just, was you know, only, I don't
not
know,
that many teams.
14, 15, yeah. 16 teams.
Dominated by one team in the 1960s.
And one team. So, yeah. So there was that.
Iverson at 10 is a bit of a hot take.
It's a hot take. I'll give you that.
Yeah, AI.
It's hot takey.
But AI was, he was his own thing. And so where I was looking at, okay, did you carve your own lane in the NBA? And he brought back the little guy.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's 6 foot, man.
If that, yeah.
Be a 30-point scorer in the NBA. And not a dominant shooter, too. It's one thing to just roll him around the 3-point line. He had to attack.
No. He was attacking and pulling up in the mid-range. Yeah. I mean, imagine if, you know, DeMar DeRozan or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was his size.
Yeah.
And he's putting up the numbers that they're putting up. So, no, I think what's interesting is they're more a reflection on each one of us and what we truly value watching the NBA.
Yeah.
And what we think, how we think greatness is defined. And so when people get outraged, you know, that they will, that so-and-so's, okay, ask yourself this before you tell us we're stupid. Why is it that you think we're so grossly
out
of
whack? Reason who should be ahead of somebody
what,
else?
What have we glossed over in having so-and-so ranked ahead or behind so-and-so?
I think the tough thing for me was the eras.
The eras are so difficult.
And you stunned me having Oscar. I didn't think you'd have anybody prior to 1979, to be honest with you.
I have a hard time with bigs from that era. I think Bill Russell is an unbelievable player. You can't tell the history of the league without him. I also think he was a 6'10" guy that it's so hard to compare, but like those guys, they're all over the place in the NBA. Yeah. Like that's an undersized center now in the
NBA. No, I
know. I
think the tough thing though for me is like Bill could probably be, he should be on the list, right? If you're doing like an all time.
If your accomplishments are a
big
part of it.
Get rid of your eras thing, right? Bill's on that list. Bill took on Wilt.
He did.
He did.
And look, Bill's team was better.
No doubt.
But Wilt had Jerry West. Jerry West was a certified bucket. Like, there are people that if you listen to them talk about that finals, and some of this is always mystique and, you know, a revision of the history because you want it to be a little greater than when you're in the moment, right? But there are people that, like, legitimately, Wilt's numbers were good, but you could kind of feel Bill just being the better competitor and defensive juggernaut.
He was too busy thinking about women, man. He didn't have the killer instinct.
Yeah,
was he the non-killer instinct guy?
He's not killing some.
That's why he finished his career as a Harlem Globetrotter.
That's right. He's having fun.
He's about killing some chicks off the court.
Yes, he is.
Laying that pipe.
Yes,
but, you know, mine's probably just void of having any real history of the league before 1979. Like, not having Dr. J on that list.
Dr. J was a hard one.
It kind of killed me.
Well,
I can't tell the story without
him. Yeah, I excluded his ABA stuff or did it, you know,
that's the other
with
part
college.
Of it. It's challenging,
that's, if we're just focusing on the NBA.
He got through the finals in one of those years in the 80s, which at that point it was two teams. Like, for
he
him
did?
To be able to do that, was it 83?
Yeah, they got there. Well, they got there in the in 1980 and lost to the Lakers, and then they won it in 83.
Yeah.
And that team was dominant. But by then he had Moses Malone and Mo Cheeks and Andrew Toney and – like
that was right before they got Barkley,
that
too.
That team was stacked. Yeah. And
no Wilt, no Bill, no Dr. J, no O. Like, I don't know, man. You can totally nitpick
everything.
Well,
that's why when the NBA, I mean, they did their 50th and their 75th anniversary teams. What was the 75th? Just a few years ago, right?
Yeah, just a couple years ago.
The ridiculous thing on that is they didn't even get that right. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. You're doing a 75 list. We're not doing that, obviously.
No.
Like, Dwight Howard's on that list. He won three depoys. He took a team to the finals from Orlando. Like, I don't know.
Damian Lillard, top 75 player of all time.
And look, yeah, sure, very. You could make that argument. Klay Thompson and Dwight Howard aren't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. The hardest one I had with guys like Steph and Kobe were challenging to leave off the top 10. There's no doubt. The hang-up for me with Steph was on half of their championships, he wasn't their best player. And if team success is a big part of that.
Well, but was he, like, in the finals, he might not have been their best player in every finals.
I would if you were drafting a fantasy team, would you take that Kevin Durant version or that Steph Curry? They're different, and you can
well, they're different,
me,
but
well,
the thing
Kevin
I
Durant, to me, was the better player.
His team beat the Kevin Durant version. That's why Kevin Durant joined his
team.
He was on the better team. That's part of the reason
that's
he won.
True.
But I think it was still, when you were devising your defensive game plan, you had to account for Steph first. Even with Durant and all of that.
I think he's right.
Because Steph, the thing that separated
Steph
from other, he moves without the basketball. Yeah. And he'll set screens and he will pull defense and he will just completely, you know, pull your defense and stretch it in places where you weren't expecting. And then he is a very good passer.
Yeah.
He doesn't have as many assists because the offense is designed to, if he gets open, he's shooting. That's the whole point. And only when he's not open or a double team comes is he getting rid of it. But I still think even with Durant, I think defenses had to focus on him first because he could tear apart the defense. Mm. Durant would just go one-on-one and rise up and shoot out of you. There wasn't anything you could do. It's like, all right, I just need somebody who's long enough to try to contest the shot and hope he misses.
I won't disagree that, like, when they needed a bucket at the end, Durant tended to get it in the Golden State era. And Steph certainly, like, he had some moments in the finals where they're like, all right, dude. But everything leading into the finals is Steph-driven. Yeah, part of the KD-Steph thing is interesting because post-Warriors, what have I learned? Steph's team's still winning. They won a chip. He was the finals MVP. KD's teams are largely non-trustworthy, toxic, and then they break up after 2 years.
That's part of it for me that is challenging. It's like
one keeps winning. And
team success for me is a hard thing to quantify.
It really is a hard thing. Yes,
like,
I'll give you that.
If you paired Steph Curry up with somebody who refused to take the COVID vaccine and couldn't play in NBA games and then went anti-Semitic on social media, is he as reliable as a winner? Like, and part of that is on KD for choosing to team up with that guy. That was his fault.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he went fat bodysuit with James Harden. But, like, I don't put the failures. And I'm an anti-Kevin.
What about Phoenix?
Yeah, to me, it's not. Kevin Durant averaged 30 a game this year. Like, he's
a
very high-level player.
I know, but there's a part for me, and I think you're right. This is so.
Like, Steph got one more. There's no doubt about it. And that will be the calling card for him.
Yeah.
And maybe Kevin Durant never gets one. He's not done yet. Maybe San Antonio wins one. I don't know.
Right.
But I have a really hard time with team success in the NBA. It's a very hard thing for me to quantify.
I don't disagree, but I just think there's some guys, it's a bit of the Jordan or whatever. It's kind of an eyeball test, right? It's an opinion and it's a feel, but, you know, he did average 30. He had a good year for himself, Kevin Durant. That was toxic, and I can't imagine you are one of the top two faces of a franchise and it's that toxic and you have zero play into that.
Sure, that's part of it.
And, you know, he does interviews, he's on Twitter all the time, like, He's a tough one. He's probably deserving of being top 10 most talented players of all time, but I don't know. I feel like Golden State is far more stable and consistent, and whether that's full staff, 60% staff, I don't know what the percentages would be, but like Kevin Durant so far, it's just been, ugh.
Yeah, it's not been good since he left.
No.
Not been good since he left. Well, that will do it, folks. That's it.
There
you go. That's the end of our show.
Leave it to us to work on a day off.
Yeah, this is a great idea.
We decided. Idea
sorry. I hope you enjoyed breakfast.
The Reggie was good.
He paid for us to do content for the best stuff.
How much did that sandwich cost? What was the cost of that sandwich?
$15.
$16.50.
Yeah. I'm here about an hour and a half later, so I'm making about $8.
That's
an
about
hour.
What
That's
I paid
bad.
For your burrito a couple
That's
weeks
about what
ago,
I make
so
in general.
Square.
Yeah. So the brand man's over here. He's going to give us a big raise for this extra
he
hard
loves
work.
This free content
for the
right here.
Classic, baby. That will do it for us. Hope you're.
Who's your goat, Dusty? Who's your goat?
Jordan.
Oh, yeah. He said LeBron. That's crazy.
Wow, he said LeBron,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Dusty Hera, LeBron
He said
James.
LeBron, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nuts.
Wild stuff.
I know.
Well, hope we see you out at the Fangolf Classic. We're clearly live at Langdon Farms right now having a great time, so hope you stop by. A little bit more to the show to come. That will do it for this Top 10 edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.